Lights. Camera. Action. Now, where's the mullet? Where is he? Is he coming in by chopper again?
And now, live from Quinlan's Cantina in the Gold Coast of Australia, it's time again for your dose of action cinema history from the 80s, 90s, and beyond with the Lethal Mullet Podcast.
Oh, g'day, mate. How you going?
G'day, folks. How you going? This is the Lethal Mullet here at Quinlan's Cantina Studios for the Lethal Mullet Network. And me, Adam O'Brien, the Lethal Mullet tonight, are going to be going through a brand new film, which I've been checking out, which is called Welcome to Sudden Death. Now, two of those words you might be familiar if you're a Jean-Claude Van Damme fan, because this film takes the elements of that film and reboots them, and of course has a new star at the top, and that is a friend of Jean-Claude Van Damme's, one that you know from the two Universal Soldier films that started the franchise. That is, of course, the amazing martial artist and actor, and all around just very, very cool guy. And that is, of course, the one, the only, Michael Jai White, who stars in this film. Pretty much is him and his wife and a number of other amazing talents in pretty much a bang-for-buck film. This is one that's done with a stringent streaming budget, but still is quite a damn good film. Really enjoyed it. And again, it's great to see the idea, that sort of die-hard idea, put into different situations. That was the strength of that first film. Jean-Claude Van Damme's one was that he was a fire safety marshal, and that character was then going to his place, which was, of course, an ice hockey place where they're playing ice hockey, two opposing teams, and then the terrorists come in, and those terrorists taking the place. And I do believe it even had a heist idea involved in it, which, of course, is a classic part of the Die Hard formula. And this, of course, is a Die Hard in a sports environment, which Sudden Death was. So we'll be going through that tonight here on episode number 125 of the Lethal Mullet Podcast. G'day, mate. How you going? Welcome to the Lethal Mullet Network, where you'll find all these amazing shows and more. Where you'll find the Lethal Mullet Podcast, a celebration of action cinema from the 80s, 90s, and beyond. You'll also find Making Treks, a Star Trek fan podcast, where I'm joined by my amazing co-host, Mark Newbold, into a deep dive of Star Trek. You'll also find Mullet and Kilt, a look at music, where I'm joined by my dear pal, Darth Elvis, and where you can also find the Mullet Guild, a look at the Dune universe. All here on, of course, lethalmulletnetwork.podbean.com or on your favourite podcatcher. You can find us there. You can also find all these shows a week later on, of course, the one, the only Fandom Podcast Network, FPN, on fpnet.podbean.com. Don't forget to also follow us on socials. There's, of course, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at the handle at the Lethal Mullet. We'll catch you out there and enjoy your action cinema. And now, it's time for the news here on the Lethal Mullet Podcast. All right, there be news, folks. There be news. That's right. Here at the studio, we've got a few items that have come through, and they're certainly worth your time, worth reading. And now, I've got to say, with this in thought, I am only just now reading this book, which is one I received about a fortnight ago, which is called Buck Rogers in the 25th Century, a TV Companion, written by Patrick Jankiewicz and forwarded by Erin Gray herself. That's right, Erin Gray's involved in this one, folks. Now, this is a great guide to the two seasons of TV that we had, and, of course, the theatrical edition of Buck Rogers. Now, if you remember back what came out first was a book. And of course, that book became a comic strip and became a franchise later, where there was a number of films back in the 1930s and 40s about Buck Rogers. And it's certainly an influence on Star Wars, and was an influence on Flash Gordon back in the day as well. Or as we call it out here in Australia, Speed Gordon. That's right. I remember even my grandmother years ago saying they thought it was too much, too risky back in the 1930s when Australian newspapers were putting out the likes of Flash Gordon to call it Flash Gordon. That's right. It gave away some racy images in their minds, some bit risky images at the time of sexy people. And of course, well, they changed it to Speed Gordon. So whenever I mentioned Flash Gordon to her, she said, oh, I've never heard of a Flash Gordon before. So it's funny how that's turned around. But the predecessor to that is, of course, Buck Rogers. And of course, back in the day, Buster Crabb played both. But fast forward to the 1970s, and in 1979, we got this series that was hot on the heels of Battlestar Galactica, done by the same creators. And in this one, a lot of what was used in that series, whether it be models, different set pieces, etc., was carried over to, of course, Save the Budget. And you could definitely see it in the show. Now, in this one, you get a real guide into not only the show, but also into the actors behind the roles. And, of course, as mentioned, we've got Wilma Deering herself, Erin Gray doing a Ford in this, and there's even an interview with her later in the book as well. There's episode guide to the series. There's also interviews with many of the cast members, and, of course, Gil Gerard himself. And it's interesting to see it back, basically, you know, look back in time to those days and what they've done since. And let's just say Gil has some choice words about the Star Wars franchise in this, so it's something to look at. In this, you've also got everything, all the weird characters, the Warwish, the Satyr, Space Vampire, the Big Bads, if you like, in this series. And, of course, the Princess, and, of course, the whole line of pirates as well. So it's interesting how that all came together. Now, you get a background on Buck Rogers as well. You get some really, really interesting trivia and some of the people that were also behind the film itself. Now, as I said, I've only just started reading this, and it is amazing. Along with that, I've also got some original Buck Rogers stuff coming out. Now, what's great about the ones that I have got is that when I found those, I also found a new novella by Andrew E.C. Gasker. And, of course, Gasker is prominent in the Planet of the Apes novels right now, carrying on the earlier books and, of course, worlds between the movies. Just an amazing writer, and I've really enjoyed his Planet of the Apes work. And in this one, he has done the Draconian Fire Episode 1, Lo, the Rings of Saturn, based on, of course, the 1979 series. And you only have to look at the front of it, and, of course, you've got William Buck Rogers on the front. And then, of course, on the back, you've got all the information about, obviously, what's going to happen in this episode. Of course, he's along with Colonel Wilma Deering in this one as well. And again, it's done in the whole style of the, you know, bang for buck entertainment at the time, the pulp novels. So it's great to see that, and I'm really going to enjoy getting into that one too. Quite a fun, fast read, and it's built in the style of course, of the originals. Now, with the originals, what I have picked up is also through Amazon, Classics to Go, The Armageddon 24, 1980, by, of course, Philip Francis Nolan. And what's great about this one is it goes back to the original story, of course, of Buck Rogers itself. And this is, you know, one of the main ones that really got the ball rolling. So to see that, and of course, you know, it's dated, certainly is a dated, and it's part of, obviously, its time and all that. So it's good to go back and see just exactly what was science fiction at the time. A lot of these would have been an influence to Frank Herbert and Dune, and of course, the Foundation series as well, all that sort of stuff. This is the sci-fi of the time. So stay tuned for a definite follow-up episode to our two Buck Rogers ones we've done. We're certainly going to be covering that. And we're going to have a look at, of course, at the TSR role-playing game which I have been able to get a brand new edition of one of those. Now, who would know that they could still get brand new editions of things? This is just basically a bulk supplier, I think, that had some of these still mint. I mean, the print on this is still amazing. From a game that came back out, it came out in 1989. That's how far back, folks. So, gotta say, I'm excited, and it's the time for Buck Rogers to have a reboot. All that we know is that George Clooney's involved. Who could he play?
Wait, how's your man?
Welcome to the dojo. Leave your shoes outside the door.
All right, time for some dojo chat. I haven't done this for a while because we haven't had much to really chat about, to be honest. It's been a bit quiet on the martial arts front out here, but I will say a big shout out to all my Gokan Ryu fellow senpais and, of course, senseis out there. You're doing it well and you're doing it proud. Gonna say what I've been enjoying in training right now is a little bit of resistance training with what I've been doing outside of the dojo, at home in my home, humble dojo. And what I'm doing these days is still a big gym sort of workout. So looking at, obviously, restraint training when it comes to kettlebells and some bag work, some light sparring on the bag. But also what I'm incorporating into that, particularly the cardio, is a good workout with the jo. So, of course, the yon shakubou, or as we say, the four-foot staff from Aikido, and of course it's used in Bujinkan. And between that and Hambo, gives you kind of a really good way to loosen up the limbs before you get into some really good resistance training. Now, I picked up three or four different classes of restraints, and basically you hook them around a pole, put them on one side, and you can use the pull on it, depending on how strong you are. You have to go with whichever cable it is, obviously. But then you can also go through not only basic exercises with these cables. You can go through whether it's working out your triceps, your biceps, your lats, anything. You can do cable crossovers with them at home. And a lot of these were invented to be obviously done not just at home, but at the gym they're used as well. What's interesting is since COVID hit in 2020, when a lot of these gyms closed down, we got a chance to really use this equipment, and obviously a lot of people have spent thousands of dollars at home doing up their gyms further, and you can see them on Marketplace on Facebook now selling a lot of stuff because they're going back to the gym now that everything's open up in 2021. But I'm going to say, folks, if you've got this stuff at home, use it. It's worth it, particularly if you're getting into different stances and stuff like that, whether you're going in a short fighting stance or Zenkutsu Dutch with the long fighting stance, and whether it's in Shotokan or Goju-Ryu, you can really use those cables to pull back and really work on getting your hands in the right spots for not only sparring model of karate or kung fu or taekwondo, tangsudo, whatever it is, but you can also use it for your kata, for your forms. And I think that's what's really, really interesting, is using those parts. Now, on the martial arts front, I've been watching a lot of stuff online, particularly Jesse Ankamp, the karate nerd, who I think is a fantastic guy when it comes to getting some information out of all kinds when it comes to karate. And he's been doing everything from looking at the Okinawan masters and obviously going to Okinawa several times over the last couple of years, but also going to China and looking at some of the original forms of what was taught from the Chinese to some of those Okinawans that would then take it on to become te, or obviously karate. And what's great is seeing some of these masters that he's met, some of these sifus and grandmasters in China over the last, whatever it is, 12 months ago, before, I think, COVID, he did it, 2019, whatever it was. But there's some great videos of him going through kata, some of the forms, and you start to see some of those that influenced things like Sunshin, obviously some of the, even the Basadai, there's some stuff in there that you can see. Now, it's not the same, and it's certainly not the same way that they portray karate, as in the same form. Things are different, you know. A punch is not just a punch in kung fu, it's different. They've got more, you know, animal form to it, in case it like could be Monkey Steals the Peach, things like that. There's different names for it. But what is interesting about it is just seeing the root of where that information, where that knowledge, where that power came from in China and how it influenced such a big system like karate, and then obviously influenced others as well. Hey, mate, how you going? Come on in, mate. Yeah, yeah. What shall it be?
Oh, yeah. Man, it's been real busy, D, you know? Oh, wow.
Right,
yeah.
Mate.
Hey. Yeah. Yeah. It's just like I was telling my mate the other day, you know, have a nice, you know, cold beverage. Enjoy the show.
Here you go, mate. Here, enjoy this beverage and enjoy this film chat. All right, welcome to the pub, folks. And here tonight we're going to be chatting a little Michael Jai White and, of course, a little about his brand new film. He is somebody I just think is one of the greatest in action right now. Of course, we're talking about Michael Jai White, born in 1967, November 10. He's an American actor, director, martial artist, and all-around just amazing guy. You know, he's somebody who's been on both sides of the camera. He's also a martial arts instructor and an avid martial arts aficionado, without a doubt, with background in Taekwondo, Kabuto, Tangsido, Wushu, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, Kyokushin Kai, and, of course, traditional boxing. But also he's done work in, obviously, his karate styles, of course, of Shotokan and Goju-Ryu, which you know myself, folks, that yeah, this is the sort of style I study with GKR as well, mixing of those two styles. So huge respect to somebody who's not only, you know, an actor and somebody that's really, you know, a real artist when it comes to this stuff, but bringing in martial arts is, you know, one of the big things when it comes to film. And also, it's inspirational, without a doubt, when you see somebody of his caliber with speed, strength, timing, and the fact that he can act. I mean, this guy can really act. There's not a lot of action stars that have that in their toolkit. So I've got to say, huge respects to this guy. He's amazing. And he's only 53 years old. He's only young. Always going to think that he's been around for so many decades, which he has. And being around for the decades that I've known his work, all the way back to, obviously, 97 when Spawn came out, you know, he was this up-and-coming martial artist, actor, who pretty much showed he could easily do this stuff in front of the camera for as real as you want. And, of course, he played Al Simmons in that, where we got to know Todd McFarlane's amazing Spawn universe. And it's a great film. And, of course, you've got to remember his mentor in that is from Excalibur. That's right, from Merlin, from Excalibur. How good is that? Obviously, he's in the Tyler Perry films, Why Did I Get Married and Why Did I Get Married 2, which I haven't seen, folks, so I've got to go and check those out. Particularly if Michael Jai White's involved, I want to see it because this guy is great. He's funny too. Definitely has a good sense of humor. Obviously, the other stuff I've probably known him from, he played Jax in Mortal Kombat Legacy. He also played a few roles in the Universal Soldier series. Now, he's at the start of the first Universal Soldier in the Vietnam sequence with Jean-Claude Van Damme and Dolph Lundgren. You know, that scene where, of course, Van Damme's walking in on Dolph, and Dolph's got the ears. Hey, do you hear me? when he's going a little nuts. But in the second one, he gets brought back as a Universal Soldier himself. In this case, he plays the cyborg Seth, who at first befriends Luke Devereaux and his family, his son, but then turns on them because he is the Universal Soldier, enemy that must be in the film. And he's really good in it, actually. Again, there's some great moments. There's some wrestlers in this one. The guy behind the camera in that one is the stunt coordinator from the Lethal Weapon franchise, Mick Rogers. And it's an amazing film. It's not as big budget than the others. It's a little bit like Time Cop 2, if you like, folks. Or Starship Troopers 2. Fun little movies, but they never had the punch that it was. In 1995, he played Mike Tyson in the HBO movie, Tyson, it's a TV movie. But also, he did the parody film Black Dynamite, which has an animated series. And I do believe there's a sequel on the way or something like that. So, yeah, one of the busiest guys around, got to say. And again, good friend of course, of Scott Adkins, folks, too. So, he's a former special education teacher and taught students with different behavioral issues, problems, etc. And of course, it's one, I think, you know, is something that's he's carried on with when it comes to, in particular, many interviews he's done on YouTube, TV, whatever it is. He is not only an educator, but he's a storyteller about what the benefits of health, physical education, and of course, martial arts can and will do for you. So, again, let's get back into it. So, obviously, Tyson was his first gig. Then, of course, along came Spawn, which is, again, a huge, huge film. Then there was also his work in Universal Soldier. Did some work in some music videos for Busta Rhymes and Mariah Carey. Then he started in the Undisputed series with Undisputed 2 Last Man Standing. He was in Silver Hawk, which was a film with Michelle Yeoh. He also was in Kill Bill Volume 2. Now, this was a deleted scene you got to see where he played a rival master, and it's actually quite a good scene. A kind of a little bit disappointing that he wasn't given the chance to be in other scenes. But again, it's a fun little scene for what it is, where he goes up against David Carradine. Now, he's also obviously known for being in The Dark Knight, which he's talked about quite a bit about what it was like to be on the set of the film in other interviews. I'll let you go and check those out, respectively. They're amazing interviews. Also in Blood and Bone and, of course, the parody homage film Black Dynamite, which is, again, a pretty damn good film. It's really looking at 70s martial arts action cinema and the blaxploitation sort of area film. He also he was obviously in the Mortal Kombat series. He did a little bit of work on voiced the Green Lantern in the Justice League Heroes as well. Now, his biggest one of late, which we're going to be talking about tonight, is pretty much a remake of Sudden Death by Jean-Claude Van Damme, which we're going to have a quick squiz at that film before we review it. But I would just say, as I mentioned, huge respects to this man. He's somebody who, even as I study karate myself now and now instruct, I always look at how he's able to get across, you know, technical information, particularly the motor mechanics of how a strike, a block, whatever it is, whatever technique we're trying to sell, he's able to get it across very, very quickly. And it's all the more insightful for us to check out of this amazing man's work. All right, so let's look at the original film, which was directed by Peter Hyams. Yes, Peter Hyams, known for, of course, his work on Time Cop with Jean-Claude Van Damme, The Muscles from Brussels. This is a film that came out December 22, 1995, set in the Pittsburgh Civic Arena, and of course it's an ice hockey place. Yes, us Australians don't know too much about that. We've got grass hockey. That's about as exciting as it gets out here. This also starred the amazing Powers Booth. And I think what's great about this, he played a really likable bad guy, which he's usually playing good guys from most of what I've seen. And, of course, in Deadwood and many other things, Red Dawn, obviously, as well. Always was a great actor, the late great Powers Booth. Also in Tombstone, that's right, he played Curly Bill. That's right. I got my horses and wagon over there, Curly Bill. What are you going to do about it? And, of course, he was in Brandon Lee's big effort, which went out before The Crow, and that is, of course, Rapid Fire. It's his chance of getting into the action area cinema. And he's got to say he's pretty damn good, and it was good. Now, Van Damme played Darren McCord, a French-Canadian-born firefighter. He's a firefighter with the Pittsburgh Bureau of Fire, and he basically plays the fire marshal in the center. Then, as they're doing the Stanley Cup Finals between the Penguins and the Blackhawks, which is big talk about in the film itself, we get to see, obviously, a bit of a kidnapping happen where, of course, Powers Booth is at the head of it. And, of course, you got Raymond J. Barry in this one as well. Who remembers Raymond J. Barry? Come on, folks. Come on. You got to remember Raymond J. Barry. Raymond J. Barry, of course, is known for, of course, Rapid Fire as well. That's right. But you didn't know that one, folks. Raymond J. Barry plays a lot of the times cop roles, all that sort of stuff. Usually ones, in this case in Rapid Fire, ones on the take. Mm-hmm. That's right. So this is an interesting one where we get to see the group of terrorists take the vice president of the USA and, of course, several other VIPs hostage. And it's up to Van Damme as Darren McCord. What a name, folks. Darren McCord, there you go, to take out the bad guys, led by Powers Booth. And this time he's not riding a horse. It was a bit of a success, this one. Bigger success than Time Cop. It's a film with a budget of $35 million. It did $64.4 million. All right? Which is not too bad, got to say. Not too bad at all. So, in it, Van Damme played, obviously, McCord. Powers Booth played Joshua Foss, a secret agent. And, of course, doubling as the bad guys, Mastermind. Raymond J. Barry is the U.S. Vice President. Who else we got in here? Dorian Harewood as Matthew Hallmark, a Secret Service agent in charge of the Vice President's protection detail. Later to be found to be the bad guy's second in command. And, of course, it's a quite a big cast, but they're probably the most notable out of them. The film itself really does follow the, obviously, the main, idea of a Die Hard film. It's Die Hard in an ice place. That's right. And, I mean, that was the idea. And the film gets about 50% on most ratings. So, yep, there you go, folks. That's what that one was about. And, yeah, it was. I don't think it's as quite as memorable as other ones, but it is what it is, I suppose. So with that, we're going to get into the film and chat about just what it is that this makes this movie interesting. I think it's, without a doubt, you know, it's an interesting one to revisit, and especially the idea of this new one. This new one definitely has a feel, but, you know, who knows? It's his debut on Netflix, and it's become one of the most watched there. So the interesting thing about, I think, this film is that it wasn't expected, you know. Welcome to Sudden Death isn't exactly something that, was an idea, I think, that most people had, you know. Well, what was this movie coming, you know? It's certainly different.
So in this new version, we have Michael Jai White playing a security guard who's got a background as a special forces soldier in the army. In this one, he takes his two kids to the basketball arena where he works. And on the same day that the governor, mayor, and, of course, a whole heap, in this case, thousands of other spectators are held by eight terrorists being involved there too. The main terrorist is a guy by the name of Michael Eklund. Now, Michael Eklund is a Canadian actor and sometimes known as Michael Scott Eklund. He's done a lot of roles in action films and a lot of ones that are shot in Canada. He's from Saskatchewan in the town of Saskatoon. And he's done a lot of different stuff. He was in The Call, Big Sky. He was in Legends of Tomorrow, Van Helsing. A lot of the TV shows that are shot over there, but there's also a lot of straight-to-DVD and straight-to-streaming action movies that he's done, where he's always played interesting roles and ones that are quite always humorous and stuff like that too. Sabrin Rock plays the role of Diana. We've also got Nakai Takawira playing Mara. We have Gary Owen playing Gus in this as well. Now, this new film does definitely follow the beats of the first film. But I think it does it in its own way as well. As, you know, it's the whole idea of getting, you know, the high-profile VIPs and stuff like that put into a room where the terrorists are holding them at bay until they get what they want. Directed by Dallas Jackson and written by Dallas Jackson. This is a very slick and fast-paced action film. And it certainly has some great action scenes in it. Again, Michael Jai White always pulling out some insanely amazing martial arts moves. And, of course, his forte of karate. And some great kicking in it too. But, again, also there's quite a bit of humour in this, which works really, really well. One of the things I do like about that is that we get a sense of just how much that these terrorists in this film are in control of the center from pretty much the start of it. And it's done really well in the way that they bring the firearms in too that they're using. They literally manufacture them in this. So it's interesting. And, of course, Jesse as a character has to also put up with trying to use them when he has no idea that they're almost fashioned per person to their person's code details and stuff like that. Interesting idea, interesting concept. But again, it does follow pretty much the idea of the original when it comes to how that worked for the Van Damme Peter Hyams film. I think this is solid entertainment. You also get Gillian White in this, playing one of the many people that Jesse has to come up against, and she's fantastic. This might be straight to streaming, whether it be Netflix or vice versa, but this is definitely worth your time. And again, it's just quick, fun action. And Michael Jai White, you're doing an amazing job. This film gets 4 out of 5 here at the Lethal Mullet Podcast. G'day folks, hope you're enjoying the great shows here on the Phantom Podcast Network. Be sure to check out all the great shows that we have on offer and subscribe on the master feed at fpnet.podbean.com. You can check Blood of Kings, a Highlander podcast hosted by Kevin the Raider Nerd Rysel and Lee Fillingsness on their platform. You can also check out Culture Clash, which is the weekly look at pop culture hosted by Kevin and Kyle. Couch Potato Theatre, this is a cult classics and guilty pleasure podcast. Also Time Warp, fandom flashback show. End Zone, a look at the NFL, the American football. Also Good Evening, an Alfred Hitchcock podcast, looking at the great films of Alfred Hitchcock. Union Federation podcast, a Star Trek and Orville podcast, looking at Discovery and of course Picard, plus the Orville. Also the Hair Metal podcast, looking at the great shows put on by the amazing bands back in the late 80s, their discs, their LPs, everything, all covering the fashion as well, hosted by Kevin the Raider Nerd Rysel. You can also check out Type 40, a Doctor Who podcast, hosted by Kevin and Dan Hadley, looking at all the eras of Doctor Who. You can also catch out What a Piece of Junk, a Star Wars podcast, an amazing show looking at Star Wars, hosted by Derek and Scott. And of course, our newest one, the amazing, The Mullet Guild, an offshoot of the Lethal Mullet podcast looking at Frank Herbert's Dune universe. This is like an encyclopedia for Dune, where I take you through and down into the rabbit hole of Frank Herbert's amazing space opera, the sprawling universe which is going to be brought to life by Denis Villeneuve and December 18. You can check out all the shows there. Be sure to also go onto the social platforms on Twitter at FanPod Network. Let us know what you think of the shows and what else you can look at there. You can also check out great articles that we put up through there that we share. Also check out on Instagram and Facebook, Phantom Podcast Network. Be sure to make sure that every Tuesday you check out the great work done by Making Treks as well. A brand new podcast looking at a deep dive of Star Trek, hosted by myself, James Semple, and of course, the ever popular and amazing writer of Star Trek and Star Wars, Mark Newbold. Go and check it out, folks, and we'll catch you next time here on the Phantom Podcast Network's The Lethal Mullet Podcast. Good afternoon, good evening, and good night.